Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. Joe McGee. Going to walk through the Bible. Going from Genesis to Revelation, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. But we're doing it in chronological order as it happened. Now, I say this every time when we do the program. The Bible is not written in chronological order. It's written in from the longest book to the shortest book. You know, Genesis covers some 2,500 years, a long time. And it's go all the way down to, you finish up, you get down to, you go through Jude, you go to the end, right before you get to Revelation, you get to the shortest book. So what we're doing, we're reading it in chronological order as it happened. So we're in the book of Deuteronomy, a very good book. They've made several movies about it. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 9. And today we're talking about victory by God's grace. How do you get victory now? It's the grace of God. It is all the grace of God. It's all God, nothing but God from start to finish. How do you do this, God? How did you get blessed, God? How did you get out of that mess, God? It's all God. God likes all the glory and he likes all the honor. So we're picking up in verse 1 of chapter 9 of Deuteronomy, victory by God's grace. Here's what it says. Listen, Israel. Today you're about to cross the Jordan River and take the land belonging to the nations, much greater and much more powerful than you. They live in cities with walls that reach to the sky. Their people are strong and tall, descendants of the famous Anakite giants. You've heard the saying, who can stand up to the Anakites? But recognize today that the Lord your God is the one who will cross ahead of you and like a devouring fire destroy them. He will subdue them so that you will quickly conquer them, and you will drive them out just as the Lord has promised. After the Lord your God has done this for you, don't say in your hearts, the Lord has given us this land because we are such good people. That's really good. Don't ever say, well, we're just good people. No, there are no good people. Don't say the Lord has done this because we're such good people. No, it's because of the wickedness of the other nations that he has pushed them out of your way. It's not because you are so good or have such integrity that you're about to occupy the land. The Lord your God will drive out those nations ahead of you because of their wickedness and to fulfill the oath that he swore to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You must recognize that the Lord your God has not given you this good land because you're good. We are not. You're a stubborn people. Now, we ought to make a bump sticker just out of that verse. God's not giving you this because you're special and you've done all things so good, because you're not good. This is what God's saying to Israel. You're not good. You're a stubborn, stiff-necked people. I'm doing this to show the world I'm good. Verse 7, remember and never forget how angry you made the Lord your God out in the wilderness. From the day you left Egypt until now, you've been constantly rebelling against him. Even at Mount Sinai, you made the Lord so angry that he was ready to destroy you. This happened when I was on the mountain receiving the tablets of stone inscribed with the words of the covenant the Lord had made with you. I was there 40 days and 40 nights. All the time, I had no food, no drink, no water. The Lord gave me two tablets, which he had written with his own finger, all the words spoken to you from the heart of the fire where you were assembled on the mountain. Verse 11, at the end of the 40 days and nights, the Lord handed me the two stones, tablets inscribed with the words of the covenant. The Lord said to me, go, get up, go down immediately, for the people you brought out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. How quickly they have turned away from the way I commanded them to live. They have melted gold and made an idol for themselves. Verse 13, then the Lord said to me, I've seen how stubborn, how rebellious these people are. Leave me alone that I might destroy them and erase their name from under heaven. Then I'll make a mighty nation of your descendants, a nation larger and more powerful than they are. So while the mountain was blazing with fire, I turned and I came down, holding in my hands the two tablets of stone inscribed with the terms of the covenant. There below me I could see that you had sinned against the Lord your God. You had melted gold and made a calf idol for yourself. How quickly you had turned away from the path that God had commanded you to follow. So I took the stone tablets and I threw them to the ground, smashed them before your eyes. Then as before, I threw myself down before the Lord. For 40 days and 40 nights, I ate no bread, I drank no water because of this great sin you had committed by doing what the Lord hated, provoking him to anger. I feared for the fierce anger of the Lord, which turned at him against you, and you would drive it to destroy you again. But again, he listened to me. The Lord was so angry with Aaron that he wanted to destroy him, but I prayed for Aaron, and the Lord spared him. I took your sin, the calf you had made, and I melted it down in the fire. I ground it to fine dust. Then I threw the dust into the stream that flows down the mountain. You also made the Lord angry at Taberah and Massah and at Kadesh Barnea. And the Lord sent you out with command, go at once and take the land which I've given you. But you rebelled again at the command by the Lord, saying that you refused to put your trust in him or obey him. You have been rebelling against the Lord all as long as I have known you. That is why I threw myself down before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. For the Lord said he would destroy you. And I prayed that the Lord said, oh, sovereign Lord, do not destroy them. They are your own people. They're your special possession. You redeemed them from Egypt by your mighty power, by your strong hand. Please overlook the stubbornness and awful sin of these people. Remember instead your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For if you destroy these people, the Egyptians will say the Israelites died because the Lord was not able to bring them to the land that he'd promised to give them. Or they might say he destroyed them because he hated them. He deliberately took them into the wilderness to slaughter them. But they are your people. They're your special possession, whom you brought out of Egypt by your great strength and your powerful arm. So at that time, the Lord came to me saying, chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones. Also make a wooden ark, a sacred chest to store them. Come up to the mountain and I'll write the tablets, the same words that were in the ones you smashed, the place of the tablets, and place them in the ark. So I made an ark of acacia wood and I cut two stone tablets like the first two. Then I went up to the mountain with the tablets in my hand. Once again, the Lord wrote down the Ten Commandments on the tablets he destroyed the first time. Then I turned and I came down the mountain. I placed the tablets in the Ark of the Covenant, which I made just as the Lord had commanded me. And the tablets are still there in the Ark. And the people of Israel set out from the wells of the people of Jacob, traveled to Moshe, where Aaron had died and he was buried. His son Eleazar had ministered to the high priest. Then they journeyed over and they came to the brooks and streams. At that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the ark of the Lord's covenant and to stand before the Lord as ministers and pronounce blessing in his name. These are their duties to this day. This is what the Levites, that's why they have no share in the property and possession of the land among the other Israelites. For the Lord himself is their special possession. And the Lord your God said to them, as for me, I stayed on the mountain in the Lord's presence for 40 days and 40 nights, as I had done the first time. Once again, the Lord instructed me, pleased and agreed, I pleaded, and he agreed not to destroy you. Then the Lord said to me, get up, lead the people to the land I swore to give to their ancestors, that they might take possession of it. Verse 12, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? Here it is again. God's always simple. He's always reminding. He's always restating. He's always recommanding. And now what is it God requires of you? He requires only that you fear the Lord your God and live in a way that pleases him and love him and serve him with all your heart and soul. You must always obey the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving today for your own good. Look at the highest heavens of the earth, everything that belongs to the Lord your God. Yet he chose. The Lord chose your ancestors as the objects of his love, and he chose you, their descendants, above all nations. This is evident today. Therefore, change your hearts. Stop being stubborn. For the Lord your God is a good God. He's the God of gods, the Lord of lords. He is a great God, a mighty and awesome God. He shows no partiality and cannot be bribed. He ensures that the orphans and the widows receive justice. He shows love to the foreigners living among you, gives them food and clothing. So you too must show love to foreigners. For yourselves were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. You must fear the Lord your God and worship him and cling to him. Your oaths must be in his name alone. He alone is your God, the only one who is worthy of your praise, the one who have done these mighty miracles that you have seen with your own eyes. When your ancestors went down to Egypt, there were only 70 of them. And now the Lord God has made you as numerous as the stars of the sky. So what's the summation of that? God's trying to tell them again. What does the Lord say? What does the Lord say? All the way back at verse 12. He requires only that you fear the Lord your God and live in a way that pleases him. So, and repeatedly, I pray this every day. I pray this morning, Father, I give you permission. Teach all my children to fear you. My grandchildren, their spouses, teach my family to fear you. I pray it twice a day. I've prayed this for years and years. I said, Lord, I give you permission. I give you permission. I give you permission. Teach my family to fear you. Why? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Wise wisdom. The Bible says, James, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get yourself some. The Bible says, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. He'll give liberally and upbraideth not. You want to be wise? Walk with wise men, a companion of fools to be destroyed. So what's the principal thing? We need wisdom. How do you get that? You need to fear God. So the primary thing you need to pray every day, I don't care who you are, Father, I give you permission. Teach me and my family to fear you. Why? That is the doorway. That is the entrance to all wisdom that comes from God. So if you start doing that, it's going to go really, really good. Things will begin to change. I'll tell you, almost immediately, when you start praying this prayer, it's going to be something. It's going to be something. So guys, thanks for listening today. Get in your Bible. Read a proverb every day. Read a psalm every day. It will change the way you think. So God bless. Thanks for listening. Tune in next time.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.